In the holy name of Jesus, amen. What makes a theologian? Luther challenged lay people and clergy concerning this question. In his time, Luther saw a disconnect between what one believed and what one practiced. For example, in an academic sense, one believed in the supreme importance of God's word, but practically, God's word was absent from the people's piety and prayer life. Luther had pastoral concerns for the spiritual life of the lay people, because they were theologians too. A theologian being one who studied God in his word. Everything done in one's life was deeply spiritual and was connected to who they were as a child of God. Likewise, we're all theologians in one way or another, even all unbelievers. Unbelievers simply don't know the truth of Scripture nor the power therein. So they'd be bad theologians. But to be good theologians, we must be trained in the Word of God. You may imagine that Luther's approach to making a good theologian to be difficult, that you have to read the Psalms once a month like him, or translate the Greek and Hebrew into the vernacular like him. Or perhaps that you must go through 4 years of seminary like your pastor, and only then can you be considered a good theologian. But that's not the case at all. Instead, Luther proposed this method to make a good theologian. Oratio, meditatio, tentatio. This is the subject matter for our Advent midweek series, as we take this season of preparation and repentance to ready ourselves to meet our Savior. Preparing ourselves not only for Christmas, but preparing ourselves to be good theologians, so that at the last day, the Lord may see that our faith pleases Him. Before we begin by talking about prayer, let me briefly explain Luther's process of oratio, meditatio, and tentatio. This is the process that makes a good theologian. And these are the Latin terms for oratio, or prayer, meditatio, meditation, and tentatio, temptation. Prayer, meditation, temptation. So as you can tell, these steps are devotional in practice, and they're really, really extremely practical. These three terms describe the life of faith as a cycle that begins with prayer for the gift of the Holy Spirit, concentrates on the reception of the Holy Spirit through meditation on God's word, and then that results in spiritual struggle from the devil. Spiritual struggle then leads a person back to further prayer and then intensified meditation. And the cycle starts over. Each week in the welcoming margin comment, I'll have a quote from Luther going into more detail about each step. Luther didn't see the spiritual life in terms of active engagement with one's own self-development, a sort of moralistic ladder that needed to be climbed to reach God. The idea that only good people could be in the presence of God. Rather, the spiritual life is a passive process through which gifts from the triune God are received. In this sense, individuals are beggars before God, because the triune God comes down from heaven to give all we need in our spiritual and bodily life. Specifically, the Holy Spirit is sent from the throne of God to help, comfort, and bring understanding through the ministry of God's word. All too often, we shy away from engaging with Scripture because we really don't know how to use it. In our Western world, the Bible has become an object of academic study, not a source of divine truth. In some way or another, that's influenced the way that we perceive and interact with Scripture. For example, if one were to read something from the prophets, like Ezekiel, for example, but didn't understand it, what would your first reaction be? To just kind of move on to something else that you did understand? Or would you go back and try and read a commentary or ask your pastor about its meaning? To do the former is to treat Scripture like a textbook. Maybe you didn't understand that part of the chapter, so I'll just move on to something else that I can understand. To do the latter is to treat Scripture like God's true word. To treat it as something that should be discovered and understood. Not so that you can win Bible trivia night, but so that you can grow as a theologian in oratio, that is, in prayer. So that when you are met by the evil foe, his attacks cannot penetrate the heart which is surrounded and fed by the Word of God. And so we begin with prayer. How does prayer make a good theologian? Well, if we believe we know all we need to know about prayer, we'd be lying to ourselves. If we think our prayers are good to God, Scripture would disagree with us. Romans 8:26 humbles us with these words. We do not know what to pray for as we ought. We do not know what to pray for as we ought. That's the condemnation of the law. We don't know how to pray. Any fool who says they do is wrong. Because even St. Paul said, we do not know what to pray for as we ought. St. Paul included. All too often, prayer becomes asking God to baptize our own interests in his with his blessings. And this can come out in a few different ways. Here's two examples. One, prayer becomes something that we do for others, but not something that we do for ourselves. Instead of praying for ourselves to be shaped and formed to be able to go and serve our neighbor or to spread the gospel, instead we pray for and test God to work the miraculous over and outside of his normal means of grace for our neighbors. Two, which I see as the most common in Christian churches, we neglect to use Scripture as a part of our daily prayer life. Meaning that we run the risk of praying, my will be done, not thy will be done. Thy will, which is revealed in Scriptures. We pray for our heart's desires, which certainly our Lord wants to hear. But our Father wants to see the desires of the saint which lives in us, not the prideful, idolatrous sinner. But what comes in the later part of Romans 8:26 brings supreme comfort and shows us who the true teacher of prayer is. It says, we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Luther would say that theology has to do with the gift of eternal life. Thus, no human teacher can teach us about it because no human teacher can give eternal life. Neither are there any methods or practices that a human can use to attain eternal life. We can't use our reason to reflect on scriptures and our experiences to merit eternal life. We can't pray and meditate long enough or with the right words to reach union with the divine. We can't do enough good works to make ourselves holy in the sight of God. That's why the gift of the Holy Spirit is the only true teacher that can make us wise to salvation. He intercedes for us. He takes our troubled, messy words and makes them holy and acceptable as the sweet smell of incense before our Father in heaven. The Holy Spirit is essential to prayer. The Holy Spirit is essential to the life of a Christian. Because only the Holy Spirit teaches eternal life. Not only that, but He gives it through the external means like word and sacrament. And that's why Luther says prayer should always begin by asking the Holy Spirit to come as the instructor and the guide to our prayers. He says, kneel down in your room and pray to God with true humility and earnestness, that through His dear Son, He would give you His Holy Spirit to enlighten you, to lead you, to give you understanding. This is the attitude to take when praying the words of Scripture. That the Holy Spirit would come to you through the words on the page to speak to you, to show you how to pray, what to pray for. Now, this isn't to say that we should be charismatics, searching for the Spirit outside of the means which God has prescribed. Instead, we should use the tools that He's given us. When reading the Word, we should use tools that He's given us, like grammar and reason and language, to read God's Word and not just wait around until we have some sort of experience and the Holy Spirit bops us in the head. In this way, we trust in God's Word as a means of grace, a means through which the Holy Spirit actually comes to us, a channel through which the Holy Spirit comes to human hearts. So, what in prayer makes a good theologian? The prayer for God's continual bestowal of the Holy Spirit through meditation on the Word of God and Him made flesh in Jesus. And having received the Spirit, listening to what He teaches through Scripture, that's what makes a good theologian. Because the Spirit makes you wise unto salvation. And this isn't just a one-and-done thing. It's not an ask-for-the-Holy-Spirit-once sort of attitude. Rather, it's a continual submission and begging for the Lord of life to come and to teach you everything that's profitable for your salvation and profitable for service towards your neighbor. Now, we'll continue to talk about prayer later in the series as it relates to the Word of God and the temptations from the evil foe. But for now, take this to heart. Pray for the Holy Spirit before reading your Scripture daily. Do not neglect the reading of God's Word, valuing other literature of man above God's words. Words that He wants to communicate to you through. And through such devoted time to Scripture, you will be prepared to fight the spiritual battles that rage all around you. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.